всем. Меня зовут Мария Бутина.
Hello everyone, I am Maria Butina. I am now a member of Parliament of Russian Duma, but I am also an ex-convict of an American prison, and today I have a unique opportunity to take the very first interview with Viktor Boot, who has been far too long in an American prison, who was imprisoned for just being there for no reason. Let's ask him how he is. Hello, Viktor.
Hello.
How are you today? There has been just a few days.
You know, I am a happy man. This is how I feel right now.
Any conditions?
Well, I'm happy. What is happiness, after all? Either you are happy or you are not. And what can change for you to be happy? So the circumstances we're in is just part of it. You have to have something inside you to be happy. It does not depend on where you are and what's happening to you. You see, at a certain stage, you have to understand that anger is self-destructive. So this is like a poison. And yes, you needed to be strong, to mobilize your forces and to do something. But when it lasts for so long, you get to understand that anger towards someone is self-destructive. I'm not saying that no one should be punished for what has been done, but you cannot have this anger, this spite inside of you. You have to have forgiveness for others. Yes, this may be hard to understand why in our traditions, in our religion, it is forgiveness that is so important. Yes, but how do you forgive other people? But when you understand your own anger, and if you learn to understand what it means to be angry or to use this energy, the energy behind it is the same energy that can be an energy of good. It should not destroy you from within. In some situations, this anger, this spite is dangerous.
What was perhaps the most scary moment? Well, you were angry, right? What was the most scary moment you have experienced? Well, that you probably don't want to relive, but still.
Well, hard to say what was the biggest challenge for me. What was the biggest challenge for me was not to be able to communicate with my loved ones. Just one phone call per month. When lawyers came, they had their own issues, and the fact that I could not talk to my friends and to my family, this was the biggest challenge.
Well, you spent a lot of time isolated, right? How was it and what helped you survive that? Because it's so scary. I only spent four months isolated.
You know, I saw an interesting book that I read, and there was this message that the circumstances you're in are neutral. This is the way you look at them, your attitude that matter. So it's like a tormentor or mentor, as the English say. So we have to be neutral. So let me tell you what I've been doing there. So you get into the cell and they close the door behind you. You hear this key turning and this light, this poisonous light in New York, for example. And there's this MCC block in the prison, and where the smallest windows are sealed so that you cannot see anything. So they deprive you of everything so that you are unable to see anything. And the color they use, this white color, white night, as we call it in Russian. Everything is gray, so everything is in this color. Who created the American prison system? These were the Nazis who, after all their experience, they instructed the Americans how you can break human will. So when this door closed behind me, there's this silence. I had a rash of panic, and I didn't know what will happen. And the only way for me to cope with this was to say, if I panic, what good will it be? So, what should I do? Nothing will help. And so maybe this is some kind of a genetic memory, something in our blood. I don't know where it came from. It just happened to be inside me. So I just let my heart do its job. I just started not just lying there and staring in the ceiling. You know how I started my day? For 5 minutes after waking up, I would laugh. This would be a hysterical laugh. So at first, it's very hard to make you laugh at this situation, but then you understand what happens and it warms you up. After laughing for 5 minutes, so your hormones, they just make it impossible for you to be depressed. So when you start your day by laughing for 5 minutes at yourself, at this whole situation, for example, this is what the Buddhists, what people in India do. So this is like a game. And you get to understand that this is a game. And when you treat it as a game, it turns everything upside down. And with this approach, you start smiling and laughing. And this is what gets them mad. When they see that you are not going, your hair is not going white, you're not pulling your hair out of your head, you're not trying to write on the walls, on, you know, all these stereotypes about prisons. And they see that you're always polite, and sometimes they don't bring you a meal, they don't turn on the light, and then they open your cell, and the captain opens it, only he has the key, even the guard cannot open the door to give you a meal. So you can spend a whole day without a meal, and then they bring it to you in the evening, and they tell you sorry. And this is how it happens. So this is reminiscent of the Nazi experience. So this is not a coincidence.
And what was the menu, food like?
The menu was a standard. It never changes. For all these 12 years, in fact, I think there was a hamburger on Wednesday, there was a French fries on Thursdays, there was chicken, this slice of chicken, these bush legs.
And what size was that?
So I will not say it on camera how I felt about it. So when I talked to those who headed these services, he said, what are your complaints? But I told them, have you tried this? Well, so what? They would say, what is there to dislike? You just can't eat this. So this is inhuman. I've spent 2 years in Thailand in the prison. Well, it was horrible and dirty, and there was nothing to do there, but at least you could order any food you wanted. So if I want something, I could order it. So they would ask me, what do you want? But here, can you imagine this, Marina? For 10 years, I could not eat garlic or strawberries or parsley, for example. So when I was alone in the cell, I lost interest in food. I was becoming thinner and thinner, lost a lot of weight, and I just become disinterested in food. I started attempting to force myself to eat, because I understood that if it carries on like that, I will be just exhausted. So I lost a lot of weight, a lot of muscle mass.
And how did you make yourself eat?
Well, I knew that I had to.
Why do you have to eat? Why? I ate for my mother, for example, and I thought, I'll go home and prove them
well,
wrong.
This is what I told myself. If I'll be sick and weak, if they break me, this won't help anyone. My mother cried for several years. I couldn't even talk to her. And I understood that the only option was to make sure not just to pretend, but in fact to be the man you want to be. And for that reason, sometimes I did not have enough time. And it was really, really strict for me. I started learning languages. I started learning foreign languages, and I had time, and I had good textbooks, and I was able to use this time and to benefit from it.
I did study languages too, I understand. Let's talk about your case. Tell me, what did the Americans want you for? Why?
Well, I've kept thinking about this too, in fact. Well, a normal person would think, why all this circus? And something was supposed to be happening. Even during the trial, the judge said that I haven't seen anything. Why you accuse Victor? He is a normal businessman, and many business people, they act this way. He did not do anything illegal, but since we have laws and
so you had a company that transported a shipping company goods, right?
Well, if you leave, for example, you fly from Europe where there is police, there are customs authorities, and then you arrive in Africa, and then there are government agencies there, and they receive the cargo over there. It's just like putting in prison all the taxi drivers, for example. It turns out that they served a drug dealer, for example.
So what's all the noise? Why was it?
Marina, what is happening to me happened to my country. I was probably like the first testing sample, like in a lamp. So they tried this experiment with me first. And the most interesting thing here is that Kommersant, back in 2016, the newspaper published that the U.S. State Department said that Viktor Bout will sit his whole sentence, and we must make him an example for other Russians so that they do not go on, to court with us.
Sorry, what was the deal that you were offered?
So there was a plea deal you were offered. So what were you supposed to do?
Was it, well, 30 years, right?
I think I had a public defender, a lawyer paid by the state, and there was this famous a lady came up there, and Sadrina Shov, and she sits there, and it's like a show, and they are trying just to make sure that you accept this plea deal. And the most challenging part was when I understood that I had to change the lawyer. And we prepared all this, and we wanted to apply for changing the lawyer, and that we will have our own lawyer. You know what she did? She brought an interpreter, and through an interpreter, and in the court, there are cameras where you can talk to lawyers. And she said, Victor, I was instructed by Allah for you not to make this application, to make this statement. So they're lying, blatantly lying. So they are ready for anything. There are grand games, there are political games. So I respect the agents who arrested me and who wanted to tell me that nothing personal, Victor, this is just business.
Everyone has a client, right?
Well, at the time, it went beyond all decency. And she told me, Victor, don't make this statement, don't make this application. Oh, Allah instructed me not for you not to do this. And I saw my wife in court, and I learned that she was manipulated. How can you trust this system when it works against you?
You said that what happened to you is now being done to our country. Is that what you mean?
I have been under sanctions since 2000. So I was unable to make any bank transfers. They tried to arrest me. So I've seen it all. And over the past 30 years, at least 22 years, I have been under sanctions. So there is nothing new about this, considering what is happening with us. And they started this undeclared war against me and my family. And then they started spreading it so that this war spilled over to encompass everyone. And they started this war against all the Russians in 2022.
In 2014, sanctions were applied, and now the special military operation started in Ukraine. What do you think about it?
A Russian man like me, I never understood why we didn't do this earlier. In 2014, Kharkov, there were people in the streets out there, and they carried Russian flags and were chanting Russia, Russia, Donbass, Odessa. Of course, I do understand that not everyone was ready. I fully support the special military operation. If I could, I could share the skills I have, and I would readily volunteer.
Well, during the jury trial, did you know you'll be convicted? I guess you did, and I want to ask, since you knew you were facing a long prison term, did you have any hope?
Well, there is no way back. This is what I understood. The only way to get out of an encirclement is to attack. So it was a question of what can I do with myself. Of course, I could have panicked and start hitting my head against the wall, or to try to pretend that I went mad. But I knew that I wanted to be a man. I am.
And what kind of connections did you have with the other inmates? Who, what kind of people are they, Nazis or who else?
The most interesting thing is that I found myself among ordinary Americans within the general public from October 2016 until January 2020. So overall, before that, I didn't see prison as it is. I was in MTC, the 10th South Department, so it is IDX on steroids.
What does it mean?
So you don't see anyone. Once a month you get to make a phone call home. Only a lieutenant can open the hatch so that you get the food. When you escorted somewhere, you are not just handcuffed and your legs are in shackles, but you are tied all over, and on your cell, there is a note that three men have to hold you. So I would just say that thanks for not just using a stick on me like a dog.
And the time that you spent with the general population, how did people treat you? When I was in prison, there were black people and Latinos. What was it like for you?
Well, you know, in Marion, most of the inmates are African Americans, and there were quite a few Latino inmates, and there were very few white people, just ordinary Americans. There were local Indians as well, the indigenous people, but this is a special prison, and these are this is a prison mostly for sex offenders or those who could not stay at other prisons. For example, they betrayed someone, or and I gave even a nickname to them here in the United States, that everyone reports on everyone. It's not just about inmates, but about guards. They report on each other, on their colleagues.
Are you talking about the Rule 35? And another question. So how did they treat you? Did they know your name, or you think you were someone else?
Well, they could not pronounce my name correctly. They would say Baud, then I would say how it should be spelled out, and then they learned it. So when someone mispronounces your last name, I would say, excuse me, my last name is pronounced this way. And so I knew when someone misspelled my last name, I would know that this is either a new guard or they have like a message. They want to send a message for me.
Well, I understand you had an opportunity to watch some news, and you are an expert on Africa, so you probably saw that West is going back to Africa, and it's part of the conflict with the East.
So the situation we are in right now probably deserves a separate conversation, so I have a lot of thoughts and observations that I can share. I tried to read anything I could get my hands on, all the interesting materials I could acquire, and there were people who helped me and who sent me a lot of stuff. So there was a time, for example, just imagine that I had 400 books in my cell.
I know a lot of people who, thanks to you and your spouse, Alla, who got help through donations.
So I had fans abroad and who sent me 3,000 or 4,000 books. There was this one person who sent this many books.
Was there anything about Africa? What is your vision of that perhaps will be a platform where the US and Russia will sort out their interests?
I don't think this will be a confrontation between Russia and the United States. Africa is awakening. Africa is becoming a driver of this process. We're not no longer telling them that this is the way you must act. We must listen to them and help them, because now it is all clear. What is going on in the West is suicidal for civilization. And if this suicide cannot be prevented in the non-Western world, so not in the Anglo-Saxon world, outside of it, so this would be suicidal for the entire planet. And this is happening in all sectors and areas. This is about drug trafficking, and there is this the LGBTQ plus issue. For example, in American schools, for example, first year students, for example, in the first grade, children are told that there are 72 genders, not just like gays and straight people, but 72 genders. And This is what is set forth in their curriculum, so that a boy can be a girl, for example, so he can wear a dress.
Were there any transgender cases in your prison?
So this is just like an example. For example, a person who is in prison on serving a life sentence. So a man is 60 year old, all covered in tattoos, with a lot of missing teeth, and he served in Vietnam. And one day he arrives, and it turns out that he is now a woman. He is wearing cosmetics, and he is wearing a bra under his shirt. So I'm asking him, Jeff, are you mad or something? And he tells me, I'm not Jeff anymore, I'm Jessica. And when I saw this, I thought that this was some kind of a joke, but then I understood. And you go to a store and you see a list of things you can buy, female panties, cosmetics, all various cosmetics, and you see that guards, they understand this, and they're just perplexed by all this. Why is this happening? As soon as you sign up for this, you get a lot of supporters. You get money transfers. People start calling you. People start visiting you, because this is how it works in the United States. In 3 or 4 years, you don't have no family anymore, no home. So, about 800 people, all they have left is the prison, and all they can do is work there. And I worked in the Labor Protection Department. So
what did you do there?
So I worked in this small department on issuing various PPE and checking the documents and disinfection and sanitation, fire extinguishers. And so I worked in this office, and I could read a lot. I could get to understand how the system works. So this was a unique experience.
How much did they pay you?
They paid me about $40 an hour, but this was just a few hours per day. So it was a very interesting experience. I did not treat this as work. It was an opportunity to see how the prison system works and how. So I had to check all the fire extinguishers, for example, every month.
Were there any accidents in prison while you were there?
So even if there were fights, they were just for show.
Were you ever in a shoe?
No, never. I always knew the better of it and were able to avoid this. For example, there could be some punishments, so I would be deprived of my right to phone calls and all.
It has some special name, right? They use some terminology.
Yes, indeed, the language is quite special. So I've talked to one of my acquaintances there, and he told me that all of these words and terminologies, like checkdown and lockdowns, they come from school. Школа, тюрьма и армия, говорит, у нас даже одинаковые дни, когда дают гамбургеры, курицу. So there were specific days when you would get hamburgers or chicken, so everything is under the same system. For example, this locker system, these lockers that you have just in, like in schools. So every person has a locker and have to put your belongings there and close this locker.
Well, a lot of there has been in American press about you is that you had any connection with Taliban. Is that true?
No, I did not have any relations with the Taliban. And when there was escape, this heroic escape, And they were an example for me. They served as role models for me. The Taliban put a price on my head. And how can anyone say that I worked with the Taliban? It's just unthinkable.
And yet, the American press keeps talking about that, like you were dealing in arms to topple regimes.
Well, the Americans don't take the weapons anywhere. They accused me of delivering 200 T-90 tanks to the Taliban. So how can you do this? 200 flights to Afghanistan. So where is the evidence? So it's just like saying something and then just leave it hanging there. So they lost faith in their own citizens. I grew up in the Soviet Union, and when I talk to Americans, you understand that even Soviet propaganda understood that there are limits. You have to say at least some truth, you know.
So you think they went overboard with your case?
For example, in my prison, there were 35 people, and no one believes CNN or other networks on Ukraine, on elections. Everyone knows that all of this is not true. Even in prison, this is what is happening. And inmates, together with people in a retirement home, are the only people who watch TV. So there is a lot of advertising for, you know, advertising products that are relevant for old people in retirement homes.
Well, my question, Biden or Trump, what would you prefer? Well,
no, I don't have any preferences. Our only two friends are the army and the fleet and the navy.
Well, in general, what is your take on politics by Biden and by Trump? Are they all the same or you see a difference?
Well, this is what I can say. There is Pepsi Cola and there is Coke Zero and Diet Pepsi. So what's the difference? And this is how this is all the same. We must stop worrying about what and who said what. We pay too much attention to US politics. Let's resolve our own challenges. So the real problem for the United States is our drugs. So for example, there are so much drugs, cannabis and cannabinoids in US prisons.
So there was it illegally smuggled?
There are no tests there. So they just smell it, they put it on fire and they use some wire and then they inhale this drug, and they just are knocked out for some time. They start crying and they yell and scream. So I never knew that you could scream that much, that people can. And they're all shaking and they're, you know, they don't feel well. And in just 15 minutes, it just happens again. So if it happens in a prison, just imagine what is happening out there on the street. What is happening in San Francisco, in Chicago, in New York? So there is so much crime. So when you say that in Russia, you can walk safely anywhere 24/7 if you do not attack anyone. So there is zero chance of being attacked yourself, so this is amazing for them. I don't believe that they'll have a revolution in the United States, if you ask me. So they've been able to keep it under control, despite, for example, all the drug issues and all the overdoses. It is all according to a plan. When young people become drug addicts, they lose their will to do anything.
So there will be a revolt, you know, people protesting?
No. You see, the Hollywood film industry has just become the propaganda mouthpiece of the Washington elites. So they are trying to show you a beautiful picture, but in the subconscious, this is like they're programming people on the mental level. So the American people, they are victims, maybe even more than other countries. And the most horrible thing, and in the past years, just look at what they did with this January 6th revolt. And they've put in prison more than 1,000 people, and they're just still there. Why? They haven't killed anyone. Yes, there were some confrontations, but look in Bishkek, for example. They've burned down the parliament building so many times. Is anyone in prison? Now, everyone who was arrested in the United States, they will get at least 15 years in prison.
Have you watched the films? Do you think you were a victim of Hollywood? The film Lord of the War?
So when people ask, what do you know about Victor Boot? They say, well, I've watched a movie. So, and they say that we do not even have a translator. My mother, who visited me in MCC, she was taken off the list, and I was told that this is not your mother. And they said, we have these documents here that your parent is Amina, but where did they get this? So in my prison documents, my parents are from the Lord of War movie, in fact. So this is how professional they are. So they know how it is.
What are your plans now?
Well, for now, I'm just enjoying this moment to be with my loved ones. I'm enjoying the snow and the freedom that I now have in the United States. This is like a reverse racism, being a normal person and to want to have a family and who wants to love. It's very hard to be a person like that in the United States.
And, well, I want to wish you to come back to life in every sense.
Overall, I'm very happy. I feel great. Well, I do need a medical checkup, maybe. I need some dental work. I lost almost 6 teeth. They just pulled them out. They do not offer any treatment, so all they can do is pull your tooth out. We had a very good doctor, but he was fired because she started treating teeth, not pulling them out.
Have you ever heard of Brittany Griner? Have you heard any rumor of this swap coming in?
Well, the most interesting thing, when they showed her arrest on TV, one of the inmates came to me and told me, this is your ticket back home.
And other than that, did you know anything?
Well, I knew that she is a basketball player.
Did you have a feeling that it will happen soon?
Well, you know, what I've learned from this experience is not to have any expectations. When you don't have any expectations, it just comes as a surprise, and this makes you happy. Otherwise, you don't get this feeling. So you can be disappointed. So I decided for me that just live without any expectations, live just in this moment, and we will succeed.
So when you got back, how did the Americans treat you, nicely or not?
So this is an amazing story. When the marshal came, he was respectful. Of course, there were handcuffs. They put me in a car. Well, at first, I was cuffed behind my back, and they said, just, you know, we just wait. And in 15 minutes, we arrived, and we were just sitting there. We started talking, as it usually happens, and word by word, I asked them whether I could use the restroom, and then they offered me some water. We waited for the airplane from Marion to DC. So they put me in the plane, and the plane was the flight was okay. Then there had this room where you have, you know, some kind of an arrested person for drugs or anything. They did not close it. There was an agent sitting on a chair and just reading something. And he addressed me by the name, which is nice. And just before I left the prison, just like with Yaroshenko, for some reason they left all my belongings behind, and the marshal said, just, you know, you take your belongings with you, but the prison did not get this information, so I could not take my photos or other my belongings with me, so we're trying to get all this back. But I could grab the newspaper, so I had some Russian newspaper, the Komsomolskaya Pravda and Rodina, my favorite magazine. So when I was waiting for these 3 or 4 hours, I could read them. And when we entered the airplane, and the agent told me, they freed me from the handcuffs, they sat right beside me.
When you were there, did you exchange any comments with Brittany Griner?
I think she wanted to shake my hand, but considering our traditions, we have to wish everyone to offer the best wishes. Was she forthcoming? Well, in fact, you could feel that she was really positive.
Is that true that you had the portrait of Putin on your wall in prison cell?
Yes, why? That's true. And why not? I'm proud to be a Russian, and our president is Vladimir Putin. And when I'm asked about Putin, you remember the scandal with Navalny, for example, I said, well, you don't know who Putin is. He not just enjoys trust, he has my personal trust for what he said in 2001. In just 6 months, it became reality. And any statement he made, just look at this, it happens all the time.
And who do you think you owe your freedom to?
Well, probably to Russia.
That's
as a whole,
answer.
Everyone who loves me and who supported me, I received so many letters from across the country, Kaliningrad, Khabarovsk, Blagoveshchensk, just people I never knew, the people I went to school with from Germany, that I received postcards, and just people I never knew from Ukraine. I got letters from Ukraine as well. I always tried to answer these letters, and I would like to thank everyone who wrote to me. And a lot of Russian-speaking people in America wrote me letters, and in Canada, people, they also sent me books, and they offered me any assistance they can give me. So I was proud to be a Russian, and I know that victory will always be ours.
I'm so glad to hear that, and thank you very much. I hope we'll have more opportunities to interview you, and we'll talk about politics and life, and most importantly, we wish for the entire Boot family to come back together and come back to life, you know, and prosper.
Thank you.